the Ghost Goal Podcast.
After Manchester City passed Arsenal momentarily over the weekend, Arsenal jumped back into first place as they did the double over Chelsea, beating them 3-1 on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Liverpool and Tottenham had a game for the ages on Sunday, as the Reds went up 3-0, surrendered their 3-goal lead late on, and managed to nick it with a late winner from Diogo Jota. And down the bottom of the table, things are starting to heat up, as Leicester, Leeds, Nottingham Forest, Everton, and Southampton all sit perilously close to the drop, or in those bottom three places. I'm Alex, here with Javier. Welcome to the Ghost Goal Podcast, episode 407. All right, Javier, let's get it out of the way. We discussed right before we started recording here that, we were going to get this Chelsea-Arsenal, results out of the way early. So I'll give the floor to you because I don't have much to say about that performance, let's call it.
Well, I mean, this has to be the least hype and the least, build up we've ever had to an Arsenal-Chelsea game. This is probably the most meaningless for Chelsea that this game has been in a long time. And for Arsenal, this game mattered a lot. So I'm glad that we were able to go 3-0 up in the first half, get the business done. I kind of suspected that we were going to concede a goal. But I loved that Granit Xhaka looked like he was back at his best. Getting into the box, 7-8 different times in the first half and creating pretty much all three goals. He got two very, very nice assists, both balls across the box that he picked out Odegaard for first-time finishes in both of those. So just lovely that he was able to get back into the game. And then in the third goal, he sets it up. He, fakes a shot and then passes the ball to Jesus or to the player who was next to him, who shot, and then the ball ricochets to Jesus, who then scores. Just fairly routine win. And these are two teams right now that are like completely different levels. Although the players and the names that Chelsea had on the pitch, are big names, and I'm sure they're much better players under a different coach in a different time, and we'll see the much better performances from those players in the future. But players like Enzo Fernandez were, basically passengers. It was good to see N'Golo Kante be able to play 90 minutes, though. It feels like it's been a long time since you've been able to see that. And another positive for Chelsea, I think, was Madueke's performance. I thought he was, the only real bright spark in the first half. And then in the second half, when Chelsea had more of the ball, he actually was able to get himself a goal. So and then for Arsenal, I liked the changes. I thought Jorginho was brilliant. I thought he kept the ball moving for Arsenal quickly in the first half, wasn't making the mistakes that Partey was making. Didn't look like he had molasses in his boots. I don't know if Partey just wasn't really fit, but I loved that he didn't have to come on till the 86th minute. So that was really nice. And also Trossard starting. I mean, I thought even though Trossard wasn't part of the goals per se, his movement, his, control in the box, what he does, he brings a completely different game than Martinelli, and it's good to be able to have both options in games and to be able to play both of those players. And finally, Kiwior, he played 90 minutes in this game. I thought he played very well. I thought his decision-making was very quick. He's very, 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 very fast player. He's, deceptively strong and tall, and I thought this was definitely his best performance in an Arsenal shirt so far. So promising. I thought his intelligence is definitely much higher than Rob Holding's. So I like that his ceiling for, what he can bring to the team is a lot higher than Rob Holding. So I don't think he's as polished a defender yet, but, I think he can definitely get there. He's, he's, I think, 4 or 5 years younger than Holding. So I take positives that we can play players like Kiwior in the lineup and Jorginho and rotate and, still have a strong lineup because we have a huge game against Newcastle away coming up. And this is definitely our hardest game. I think we played Brighton at home as well, but this game was a bogey game for us last year. you know, when we had everything on the line, we got destroyed there. You know, you saw it in the all or nothing, how dejected and destroyed the Arsenal players were after that Newcastle game, because we still had it in our hands then. And it's going to feel that way now. You know, everything's on the line now, and we got to win this game. So I'm glad we were able to get a win and a little bit of turn of form going into that game.
You want to know what I'm thankful for, Javier? I am actually, like, thankful for something coming out of this game. I'm thankful that Chelsea weren't in the same position that we were in back in, I think it was 2014, the 2013-14 season, where we had to go to Anfield and surprise Liverpool, who were top, beating them 2-0 completely against the run of play, to stop them from winning the league title. I'm happy that we weren't in that position this year, because this one would actually hurt. Fortunately for us, Arsenal already bottled it. So, you know, there was none of that anxiety surrounding that for Chelsea. You know, only our own misery, which I'm at this point very used to. That's six games in the league with, like, losing. You know, it just feels, it feels like Brighton at home did. It feels like nothing, you know, because you don't have it in your hands. Even if you win every game until now, until the end of the season, you'd have a better chance of winning the league, but City are probably still going to win it. So that's what I'm thankful for. And with that being said, let's move on. No chance at rebuttal. Let's move on. Liverpool, Tottenham. Did you get to watch this game on Sunday, Javier? 4-3 Liverpool,
did.
It ended.
It was an incredible game. I'm so happy I watched it. You know, it just, Liverpool absolutely did their Anfield blitz thing. You know, completely, Tottenham were sixes and sevens. Looked like it was going to be 8-0.
It looked like it was going to be Newcastle away all over again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just looked like it was going to be another slaughterhouse. And, credit to Tottenham, because in that first half, you know, there was, I think they hit the woodwork twice. They Alisson made a bunch of saves, and it looked like Tottenham were getting back in the game already in that first half, and then being able to pull three goals back in the second half. You know, the team showed that they have some fight in them, you know, that they're not completely useless as a team, or that they're not there at all. You know, the pieces are there. They need, obviously, still other players to bring in, but if they can hold on to players like Son and Kane, I mean, Kane just every single game scores a goal. You can't stop him, you know? And if you got a player like that, you have Son as well, who has the skill, and, you know, they have players throughout the team who can chip in as well. So, positives for Tottenham that they were able to come back, but then heartbreaking at the end where, you know, Jota, who probably shouldn't have been on the pitch after that horrific tackle he had earlier on, that he only got a yellow card for. But, you know, what a game winner he got.
That's Anfield for you, though. Like, decisions that are clear reds at other grounds, Liverpool get in their favor. I'm not even saying there's, like, corruption or anything at hand. It's just the magic of Anfield, as they like to say. The thing I was wondering, as I was watching Jota run in behind and score that winner, number one question I had was, who played that back pass? And then when I found out it was Lucas Moura, the second question was, why the fuck is Lucas Moura playing in a Premier League game in 2023? I mean, I'm guessing it's Ryan Mason, the, you know, now interim manager who took over when Stellini left a week or so ago.
Conte would have never put him on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't. When Conte was manager, he barely ever played him. He was playing, like, development team games for a lot of the season. I'm guessing it's got something to do with when Ryan Mason was still playing. Maybe they were in the same team together. And, you know, people forget that Ryan Mason was a player for Tottenham. He was a midfielder who had his career ended by a terrible challenge from Gary Cahill, like, to his head that basically, you know, knocked him out and cracked his skull on the field. He played with, like, a good amount of some of these Spurs players. Son and Kane, for sure, and, you know, others throughout the squad. Eric Dier, Lloris. He's familiar with a lot of these players, and the only like, response I could come up to is he must be buddies with Lucas Moura from the old days, because that back pass was horrific and encapsulated completely why Lucas Moura has been nowhere near a Spurs team for about a year or two.
Oh, Richarlison broke his duck, Alex. He finally scored a goal in the Premier League. That celebration was ridiculous. Ripping his shirt off, jumping into the crowd.
Well, he's former
Bro,
Everton.
You scored an equalizer of a game that barely means anything.
They came back from 3-0 down.
I know, but, like,
Anfield.
You didn't win, like, the game. Come on, chill. Like, I would go grab the ball and
I understand
try,
it
to,
as well.
Try to get a winner.
As a former Everton player who surely got the shit beaten out of him by Liverpool plenty of times, I'm sure it was nice for him to finally get that goal for Tottenham in the Premier League. And I'm sure it was very frustrating when, like 40 seconds later, Liverpool were down the other end scoring the winner. We said last week, and we were still looking ahead to the Tottenham-Man United game that was going to be played on Thursday that ended up being 2-2. We were looking at that game and didn't really get to talk about or preview this one. And we were looking at that game through the Spurs lens, let's say, and thinking like, oh, are their top four chances over? They're 7 points back from Manchester United now. Manchester United have 2 games in hand and are in fourth. With this loss, can we finally say it? Spurs are out of the top four conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought so for a while. I think
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but with 4 games left to play, I'm saying...
I mean, they've conceded 12 goals in their last 3 games. It's just, atrocious form. They also conceded 3 to Bournemouth. I mean, you can't concede this many goals and then try to make top four. So their goal difference is only +6 right now. Team like Brighton, +21. And I think someone like Brighton's going to surely finish above them this season.
Well, yeah, more importantly in that regard is that Brighton have played 31 games, 3 fewer than Tottenham have, and they're only 2 points behind Tottenham. So you would assume that Brighton are going to be still maybe not hoping for Champions League, but pushing for European
I think
place.
They are hoping for Champions League. This next game they have coming up against Manchester United is massive. They win that game, then they suddenly have 55 points. They're only, they're 8 points back, but they have the games in hand. They'll be equal on with Manchester United, but they could get a couple of wins if United drop some points on the way. I mean, I think they'll still have it in their minds that they can still get Champions League, if the results go their way.
I know what you mean, but I think it's the reason why they have this many games in hand. That long FA Cup semi-final run postponed a lot of their Premier League games, and as a result, they are going to have to play way more games in this month of May, the last month of the season, than any other team in the Premier League will have to. And, over the weekend on Saturday, they showed that they can rotate and still score 6 goals against a team like Wolves, who are, as on the beach as any team can be. That Wolves are safe. They're, not finishing too much higher up the table, and they're probably not getting relegated. So it's understandable that Brighton were able to take advantage of that malaise and get a big win that, has people believing in that top four dream. But I just think like the amount of games in such a short span of time is going to add up for them. And I think they would be fine with any form of European place. If they get a Europa League place, I think that would be a really big achievement for them. And they could do really well in the Europa League next season. Europa Conference League still would be maybe not a huge deal to them, but it would be European football, which... 5 or 6 years ago, people weren't even like considering Brighton as a chance of being in the Premier League.
Sixth place is where they're probably thinking that they could finish, So if they could finish sixth, that'd be an incredible achievement for them. And De Serbi would be, continuing Potter's great work, but just amplifying it even more, because I don't think Potter would have gotten them to the point where De Serbi has them right now. I think they've been playing just fantastic attacking football. With that possession style that Potter had. And yeah, it's just awesome to watch Brighton. I think Brighton's one of the best sides in the league right now.
Yeah, and I know we started this mainly focusing on like Tottenham, confirming that they're out of this top four race with 4 games left in their Premier League season. But Liverpool now, they've fluctuated between, no hope of getting into the Champions League again next season to... a good run of form that's gotten them back into contention. They've sort of fluctuated between those two states throughout the season, but now this most recent run of form, 4 straight wins on the bounce, wins against Tottenham at home, West Ham away, Nottingham Forest at home, and Leeds away, all while, seemingly getting back to their usual selves, scoring boatloads of goals and not defending too well. They now sit just the 7 points back from Manchester United. United have the 1 game in hand, and they've only dropped points themselves once in the last 5 games. What chance do you give Liverpool of getting back into top four?
Well, I'm looking at their fixtures, Alex, and the maximum amount of points that Liverpool can get. So Liverpool's maximum amount of points, if they win out their last five games, they have 56 points. So if they get 15 points, they can get up to 71, which could be enough for Champions League. They'd have to win their last five games. They don't have any particularly hard last five games. Their last five games are Liverpool, they have home Fulham, home Brentford. They should win both of those. Away Leicester, definitely should win that. Home Villa, and then their last game of the season is away Southampton, probably already relegated at that point. So all of those games seem...
Yeah, home Brentford and home Aston Villa could be, you know, they could
Liverpool
draw those
have been
games maybe.
Imperious at home. No, I don't think so. The way they've been playing at home, I think also Brentford and Villa, I mean, less so than Brighton. I think Villa might have something to play for, you know, like a European place. I don't think Brentford will at that point. I think they'll be kind of on the beach. I don't think that they're, you know, in for it. They're there in the table to still get European places. I guess we could talk about Brentford too, but for Liverpool, it's win out and hope that the other teams drop points, right?
Yeah, well, talking about schedules, Manchester United, I think a lot is going to be decided, or our mindset will be dictated by how this Brighton away game goes on Thursday for Man United. If they win that, their remaining games afterwards are at West Ham, home Wolves, at Bournemouth, home Chelsea, home Fulham.
Those are very easy games too. Yeah.
Right.
They're going to pick up a lot of points during those. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hard. Newcastle don't have a very difficult end of the season as well. They do play Arsenal next, so hopefully they lose that one. But after that, they have Leeds away, which you got to think that they, you know, it's a huge game for Leeds. It's not like guaranteed Newcastle win there. Then they have Brighton at home, which if Brighton are in a position, you know, to push for European places, again, it could be difficult. But then the last two games, they have Leicester at home and Chelsea away. So they should get a couple of wins to end the season and be able to secure top four.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident that the current top four is what's going to finish the season. Not in the order that it's currently in, but Manchester City 1, Arsenal 2, Newcastle 3, I'll probably say, and then Manchester United 4. That kind of brings me to the Aston Villa-Manchester United game over the weekend. I was fairly certain going into that one that Aston Villa had what it took to even go and win at Old Trafford, but and that was mainly focused on, you know, the defensive injuries Manchester United have been suffering from and how they've performed since players like Martinez and Varane have been out. You know, that horrible second leg against Sevilla where they, you know, got trounced and knocked out of the Europa League. The Brighton semi-final in the FA Cup, which they went through on penalties, but looked much the worst side during it. And frankly, I thought they were kind of lucky to even progress in that one. I was for certain that Villa were going to come in, not have necessarily like most of the ball, but be able to counterattack Manchester United effectively. And they just didn't have the finishing touch. You know, they had some good chances that I think they should have taken at least one of them and maybe earned themselves a draw. But the let's just say poor deflection save that put the ball right into Bruno Fernandes' path by Emi Martinez, that pretty much cost them the game, because while Manchester United had good chances themselves, it felt like a game that should have ended as a draw, probably on like the balance of play. That's just to me, but United ended up getting the win, and I think they've shown enough now that they can perform not too well, Manchester United, and, you know, still get these results. I think with the remaining schedule that we just mentioned, they should be able to get it over
the
line and finish top four.
I think United will pretty comfortably get over the line, and I don't really see any other teams catching for Champions League. I think it's just going to be a battle for those Europa places, which, you know, for a team like Liverpool, I think it's going to be important to still have European football next year. They have a lot of young players in the team, and they're going to need those extra games to get game time to players that, like, you know, Elliot and Bajic and all those who Curtis Jones, who I'm sure they're going to make more signings in the summer, and those players are still going to need game time. So it's very important, I think, to still get Europa League. And no one else is going to be winning the league anytime soon. It's Manchester City. They're going to keep winning the league every year. Erling Haaland. Boring.
Until him or Pep leave. You know, they can't stay there forever. Yeah, let's at least mention that Manchester City did go away to Fulham over the weekend. They got a 2-1 win. It was probably a bit closer than people imagined it would be.
Fulham did have a good effort. Fulham. They are definitely on the beach, you know, completely mid-table. Nothing to play for whatsoever. No chance of being relegated. No chance of getting any type of European football. They stayed in it the whole time. They had a couple chances as well and made Ederson work. So I was very happy with Fulham's performance. So I'm when you say teams are at the beach, Alex, I think performances like this Fulham game show that no team is necessarily at the beach. And if you just have the confidence or the free will to play your game and not have any real pressure on you, sometimes teams can get results and do things like what Fulham did. Fulham could have gotten a draw out of this game. So,
being at the beach isn't a real thing. I'm a Chelsea fan. My team has been at the beach since Real Madrid knocked us out of the Champions League, maybe even before that. So we are definitely at the beach. And, you know, that comes with bringing in an interim manager for the last, like, 6 or 7 games of the season and pretty much just telling the players these last 6 or 7 games don't matter. So I would say by definition, that would mean Fulham are not at the beach. Maybe they have every reason to be, given their circumstances, but Marco Silva still has them out there trying to, you know, accrue as many points as possible and keep the trajectory of that club ticking upwards. They did have a nasty injury to Andreas Pereira, though, which I know probably went under the radar, but he's been a huge player for them, and I think he broke his ankle. So I'd imagine he may even be out for the start of next season, depending on how bad the damage is, which could end up being a really big loss for them because he takes a lot of their set pieces and frankly knits together that whole forward line. So shout out to Andreas Pereira. I hope he gets better soon. Let's take a look a little bit further down the table. Some big relegation results. One that I think pretty much confirms Bournemouth's safety, if it wasn't already confirmed, was them thrashing Leeds 4-1 on Sunday. Jefferson Lerma, of all players, got a brace in the first 24 minutes. Dominic Solanke scored.
We got to eat some crow on this one, Alex. I don't think anyone really saw Bournemouth doing what they've done in these last 5 games. You know, 4 wins in the last 5 has completely put them out of that relegation zone. You know, they're now 9 points clear, so they really only need maybe 1 more point to be completely safe.
I think they're safe. I think they're safe.
I mean, I think they're safe too, but I'm sure they'll get teams, like a 0-0 draw with Chelsea and you're both safe. So
no, they're going to beat us. Definitely going to beat us. I just want to mention that because it keeps Leeds right down there.
Bet the under in that game, guys. There's not going to be a lot of goals.
No, bet the over. Bet the over.
Under.
Bournemouth, you're
good defensively.
They're going to pipe us. No, what are you watching? What have you been watching?
Chelsea have only conceded 38 goals this season.
Yeah, but I'm talking about recently. We are not good defensively. Conceded 3 at Arsenal,
one of the best
two
defensive
at home
records
to,
in the
two
league.
2 at home to Brentford, 2 at home to Brighton, 1 away to Wolves.
You've conceded less goals than Arsenal this season.
Wow, that's a real indictment of you guys.
And Manchester United.
We are not good defensively, I'm telling you.
You're the third best defensive team in the league, according to goals conceded, yes.
Woof. So the rest of the league is shit defensively, too. Good to know. That Leeds results keeps them right down there. And they're still not in the relegation places by some miracle. They are 17th. Level on points with Nottingham Forest in 18th and only ahead of them on goal difference. But they're going to face Manchester City away this weekend, which may even up that goal difference, while Nottingham Forest are going to be hosting Southampton, who are obviously bottom. So really big chance here for Nottingham Forest to get themselves out of the relegation zone.
And relegate Southampton. If Nottingham Forest wins
relegate
this
game, Southampton and, you know, drag Leeds, you know, back into the actual places.
If Southampton win it would be their last, like, chance to get out of this relegation fight, basically. they've got to be all looking at this fixture thinking, this is it.
Yeah, it's been last chance saloon for Southampton for multiple games for a while now. So this
their
really
end of
is
the
last
season.
Chance
Southampton
saloon.
Is Nottingham Forest away, which, okay, say they win that. Then they have a home game with Fulham. I think that's winnable if Fulham end up being at the beach and Southampton play their hearts out. Then they have an away trip to Brighton. That seems like a really, really hard game. And then they end home game against Liverpool. I think they're relegated, Alex. I think they're done. I could see maximum two wins in the next four games.
I think
Southampton are gone. Yeah. I think even if they beat Nottingham Forest and Fulham, they're not going to beat Brighton or Liverpool. So they'd have to win three of their last four and probably draw one of them. 10 points. That would get them safe.
Well, yeah, and, you know, results going their way in other games.
No, 10 points. I mean, if they get 40 points, they'll be safe. Sorry, they have 24 points. Never mind. They'd literally have to win out 36 points. That's not enough. I don't think it's going to be enough. I think they're done.
Well, okay. I think the more unrealistic part of that is them winning all of the rest of their games. Like, I don't think they've put together four wins in a row at any point this season, you know, let alone at a time where they're going to be playing against another relegation threatened side this weekend in Nottingham Forest. And by the way, Nottingham Forest, not a bad team at home. They literally just beat Brighton like maybe a week ago at home, beat them like 3-1, when we've already established Brighton have plenty to play for in terms of getting into Europe. I think this is the final point of the season where Nottingham Forest get themselves out of the relegation zone. And it's, to me, it's basically between Leicester and Leeds United for who's going to go down. I'm kind of thinking Everton might be doomed as well. After, you know, 30 years in the Premier League, one of the few teams that have never been relegated during the Premier League era since 1992, I think it's starting to feel safe to say that this will be their last year in the Premier League without a relegation. Are you feeling that same way? I mean, we're talking about this fresh off yesterday's 2-2 draw.
So I'm looking at Everton's last four fixtures here. Everton sit on 29 points, and they have Brighton away, which is not, you know, that's not going to be an easy game, and if they can somehow win that one, then they might have a chance. That because then they have a home game against Manchester City, which you got to think they're going to lose, and then away Wolves, they could win that, and home Bournemouth, so they could win their last two games of the season. Where does that put them, Alex? If they get their last two wins of the season, put them at 35 points. They've got to pick up a win in either the Brighton or the City game, and win their last two games of the season to be safe.
See, I'm at the point now where I would not trust them whatsoever to get any kind of results at Brighton or at home against City. And I still am not convinced that I would pick them to beat either Bournemouth or Wolves. Like, I know Wolves are, you know, coming apart at the seams right now.
I think
now.
They could do it. I think they could do it those last
maybe
two games
one,
with everything on the line.
Maybe so one of those two games?
That would be 35 points if they did that.
Yeah, and again, that leaves a lot to
relegation.
How
probably relegation.
Leeds and Leicester will look. I'm Leicester are another team that I'm thinking are going to drop into it. I know they got out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, Leicester's schedule is not easy here, Alex. We've got their next game is away Fulham. Then they have home Liverpool, which neither of those games I think they're guaranteed to get results. I mean, the home Liverpool game, probably going to lose that. Away Newcastle, almost certainly going to lose that one. And then they finish out the season home West Ham. So none of those games are easy. I think the Fulham game is the most winnable. But they might lose out their last three games of the season. And they'd really have to win the away Fulham game, the home West Ham game. And I think they could be safe if they do that.
Like, over the weekend, my pick for the bottom, the three teams I think are going to get relegated, changed multiple times. I went on to you know, our former co-host Andrew, his gambling podcast, the Plus Money Pod, if you guys want to go check that out, at Plus Money Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And I was giving out picks, and Andrew was just asking me, like, what's your three relegation teams? And I think on that I said Leicester, Southampton, and Everton. I don't know why I didn't say Leeds. I obviously hate Leeds. I've always been on record about that for a while. But now it's changed. I think Leeds are going down. I think it's going to be Southampton, Leeds, Leicester.
Leeds' schedule is away Manchester City next, home Newcastle, so probably just loss, which I think if they lose the next two games, they're going to be devastated. Then they have a huge away game with West Ham, who, you know, I think West Ham, they're not completely safe yet. I think they need one more win.
They are definitely safe.
I mean, and then
there's a bit of daylight between them and the rest of those teams.
And I think then it's down Leeds to those bottom five Spurs. Now. So they have home Spurs, home Newcastle, away City, and away West Ham. That's a brutal. They could lose all four of those games.
And we're also coming off a month in April where Leeds set the record, breaking their own record from a year or two ago for most goals conceded by a single Premier League team in one month. I think it was something like 24 or something they conceded.
That's insane.
There's talk of, you know, Javi Gracia, the manager they brought in maybe like a month or two ago for, who was it before? Was it Jesse Marsh that they had fired? There's talk of him getting sacked and then bringing in someone like Sam Allardyce, which with four games to go sounds insane, but, you know, given the form they're currently on, maybe. Like, they just need a rocket up the ass right now to get those players to start, you know, defending better, which, you know, Gracia was usually known for being like a good defensive manager or someone capable of setting up a team to defend well. Now they can't defend or score, so it's a miracle they're not in the relegation zone at the moment, and I think after this weekend they're going to be in there and eventually go back down.
Alex, I know you said West Ham you think are completely safe, but listen to West Ham's last five games of the season. Their next game actually as well, I know that Manchester City have a few games in hand. This is why multiple teams have games with Manchester City, but they have an away game at the Etihad, which you think they're going to lose. Then a home game with Manchester United, probably lose that as well. Then an away trip to Brentford, so they might just lose the next three games here. And then they close out the season with, we've already talked about, home Leeds and away Leicester. So if they're still, if they lose their next three games and they have to go into that Leeds game, like right now, Leeds maybe pick up a win somewhere along the way or, you know, a point, even one point, then suddenly West Ham are going to be looking behind their backs. So it's possible.
That's
West
fair.
Ham are still in.
That's fair that you phrase it that, you know, these next three games, they could drop points. I think that Brentford game, they're probably going to be targeting to, you know, if they do lose the two Manchester games, win that Brentford game and, you know, all of a sudden it's done and they don't have to worry about the last two games against the, you know, relegation threatened teams. So that is fair. Maybe it's unfair to say that they're completely safe. They also have, you know, European fixtures to worry about. So maybe they're the semi-final in the Conference League. Kind of, and by the way, I said it was a Belgian team that they were going to be facing last time we recorded. It turns out it's AZ Alkmaar, the Dutch team. So going to be a tough one for them. They're going to have to put a lot of focus into that. And maybe that sort of diverts their attention enough for the teams behind them to creep up. Let's take a look at just some of the games coming up this either, you know, this midweek or weekend. By the time you guys listen to this, on Wednesday, that Liverpool and Fulham will have played and Manchester City and West Ham will likely have played. I think those are two fairly predictable, you know, wins for Liverpool and Manchester City. And then on Thursday, we did mention that Brighton-Manchester United game. Thursday at 3 p.m., who do you like in this one? Do you think Brighton get revenge for being knocked out of the FA Cup semifinal?
I kind of do. I think that this is a wounded United side. They don't have, you know, a lot of their defensive, you know, and midfield players. And Brighton rotated a lot of players, I think, so that they could have a very strong side for this United team. And I think they can get a result. I think they could get a win. And if they can get a win, they could dream. They can push for, you know, maybe a European spot. So it's what you want is Brighton. I don't think that they expected to be at this point this season. And they're definitely ahead of schedule. And they're going to be, everything's on the line for them in this game. Show you're one of the big boys.
Yeah, also, if they get Europa League, at least, I think even Europa League would be enough for a lot of the players at Brighton that may have been considering leaving this coming summer. Maybe enough to convince them to stick around for one more season, have a run at Europe with Brighton, and another run in the league with De Zerbi in a full season. And, you know, maybe, you know, the Vultures aren't able to pick off, you know, their best players like they have been the last couple of seasons. Looking ahead to the weekend, that Bournemouth-Chelsea game, I'm not joking. Bournemouth are going to beat us. It's at home. Bournemouth usually beat us at home when Eddie Howe was manager. It's like a cursed ground for us. So the way Chelsea are playing, I see no reason why. Maybe other than like, maybe if like Bournemouth all of a sudden are on the beach from that win against Leeds that like secures their safety in the Premier League. But even so, we're not good at the moment. Like, if we got a draw from this game, I would be
surprised. I feel like it's going to be a
nil-nil surprised.
Draw, Alex.
Sure. I'll take it. I mean, I'm just mentioning that one because I want it to be, you know, I want it to be known that I'm not joking when I say this Chelsea team, I do not expect them to get anything.
I could see it also even being
Lampard's
first win and you guys finally turn. Because seven straight losses, Alex, come on. You already set the record for a Chelsea team since like the 50s, losing six straight here.
No, it was the first time since 93. I was at least alive the last time it happened, though not exactly conscious.
Seven would be ridiculous. So I think Chelsea get a win here. I'm going to say you turn it around, Alex. Turn your form around. And
you've got more faith than I do.
1-0 win to the Chelsea. Up the Chelsea.
Also, during that 10 a.m. time slot, there's Manchester City Leeds, which if you like goals, you can check that one out. And Tottenham Crystal Palace also at 10 a.m., which after the crazy 4-3 games that both of those teams were involved in last weekend, could be a goal fest this weekend as well. Crystal Palace ended up beating West Ham 4-3, but conceded three corners. Three out of six of the corners that West Ham had resulted in goals. So maybe Tottenham can look to turn their form around on set pieces against a team like Crystal Palace. And then the two biggest games of the weekend, I think, have to be Newcastle-Arsenal Sunday at 11:30 a.m. That's obviously a huge one for Newcastle to try and, you know, further cement their place in the top four in Champions League football. And it's, you know, even bigger for Arsenal to try and hang in this this title race. I forget, did you give your pick for that already, or do you want to cement that now?
No, I haven't, Alex. I think we're going to go and win there. I think we're going to win every game from now to the end of the season. I think we're going to have to just do that and put the pressure on Manchester City. I think the pressure's sort of off of us a little bit.
See, you still didn't give a prediction. What's your score prediction for Sunday?
3-2 Arsenal.
That's funny because I had 3-2 Newcastle. I think Newcastle beat you and, you know, finally put the final nail in the coffin for those, quote, title hopes. Nottingham Forest, Southampton, I think we kind of hashed that one out, but that's going to be Monday at 3 p.m. One of the, another big relegation six-pointer, and I think Forest come out on top, probably like 3-1, something like that, something similar to what they
Forest
did to Brighton.
I think Forest as well, Alex. I think they bury Southampton and, you know, maybe give themselves a little bit of daylight between the other relegation teams we talked about.
We may have fucked up the Bournemouth pick, but I think we're right about Forest, Javier. I think we're going to be right. We were right to say that they weren't going to get relegated. And you know what? All three promoted teams might stay up. When was the last time that happened?
Yeah, that's wild. I don't
I'll look into that and I'll report back next week to see when the last time that happened was, if any. But that seems like a good place to, you know, finish things. Javier, thanks again for jumping on late at night, right after work, as usual. I always appreciate it. If you want to follow Javier on Twitter, you can do so at JavierRev9. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at ASMoss92. And you can follow the podcast socials at GhostGoalPod. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes / Apple Podcasts, please go ahead and leave a rating and review if you can for the pod. Those new ratings and reviews help new listeners to find the pod, and we always appreciate it whenever you guys can help us grow this thing. Enjoy the games this weekend, and until next time, see you.